Now, what questions am I talking about? The questions on the website, the questions of Scripture. Not one of them will respond and answer those questions. And maybe you're saying, well, why don't you get out a little more? Why don't you stir around and meet with these brothers? Well, when I have done that, they have said they would respond to me at a later time and don't do it. And others who are in their congregations have tried to ask them for answers. And that doesn't go so well either. Well, the problem with verbal exchanges is manifold. After having to go for so many years, in September, it will be 10 years, actually, a decade. And to do this in writing and to get no responses, and then if you talk to somebody, they can be, let's just say those verbal exchanges are prone to misunderstanding, misinterpretation, or misremembering. That's why on something like this, especially after I have done so much in writing, we're going to need responses in writing from these people or in an audio recording, such as this one. And I invited Brother Marty Clevenger to be the co-editor of this whole website. He could have his own login. He would not need to tell me when he was logging in or what he was posting. He was going to be the co-editor. I invited him to do that. He wasn't interested. He declined the offer, which is exactly why I asked my mom, who had a degree in history, to please get together with these ministers. They're busy people. They have jobs. They have congregations. Writing is maybe not their forte, but it is yours. Could you please get together with them? So I know some of them are communicating verbally and privately. So I don't like bringing my mom into this, but Brother Dan brought my mom into it, comparing her life. And my first and only response I ever got from him when I sent him this material, because he is one of the ministers on the list, was that your mom's going to cry when she reads this. It wasn't even sent to her. So why would she be crying? And the whole purpose of sending it to the ministers was so that I would not send it to my mom or anybody else if there was error in it. And if there's not error in it, if it's true, then why would she be crying either? So there's no reason for her to be crying. If it's error, she won't be crying because she won't read it. And if it's truth, she shouldn't be crying because it's the truth, and especially if you let her know that it's truth. But when I ask him for scripture, he points to my mom's life, comparing it with how he wants to live his, and by implication, holding her life up as being a justification for his failure to study the scriptures. He doesn't need to. All he needs is my mom's pattern. And yes, no doubt some of them are ministers, are communicating among themselves. Why would they not be? But the problem is they're not communicating in a way that counts, and I don't mean just responding to me. When I contacted Brother Ed at 6 months, I said to myself, why would they need to contact me? They can contact Brother Ed, but they didn't do that either. They could preach a message. If they preach a message, I'll find it, or I'll hear it, or someone will send it to me. One of them said their pastor gave her his opinion about all of this on condition that she would not share it. And she sat down and wrote him a long email and then just deleted it in dismay and frustration. How can you do that? You're letting people die. So what I've been asking everybody to respond to is 5 statements from Brother D.S. Warner and my 4 statements about the boundaries in the Word of God. And I have not yet gotten one of them to weigh in. And this is what makes this a corrupt, sectarian, sinning ministry, because they're letting people die for lack of the truth. They won't answer the scriptures, but they will tell them that we don't worship creed or tradition. And that's not true. Okay, so let's go over the 4 boundaries of the 5 questions. Somebody get on your phone, call up some of these ministers, and how about you get back with me? Because otherwise, this is not the Church of God anymore, folks. The sad thing is, people have already done that. The ministers will promise them that they will get back with them, and they won't do it. And that's why I say this is not about scripture anymore. This has nothing to do with scripture. This has to do with idol worship. Worshiping the movement idol because it has been instilled in us that we are the one and only, that we are found in the scriptures. Our movement, our group, and only our group is found in the scriptures from Daniel to Revelation, identified us. And therefore, whatever we say, whatever our movement teaches, is the proper interpretation of Scripture. Look at the confidence that Dan has, almost flippant about other Scriptures. I don't want to say he's flippant, but go back and read it. Just say, can we talk about the weather? I'm done with this. There's such a lack of concern about what the Scripture says that can only come from having something else other than the Scripture. You can't get that kind of confidence from regarding the Scripture that way. You can only get that kind of confidence because of your position in the movement, which trumps and provides you security and insulation against the Scriptures. There are a lot of things in the Bible. There are whole categories of people that the Scripture says will never see inside God's heaven. But when Christ depicted the judgment scene, he did not portray what the interview would be like with anyone in those categories. But what he did do, he portrayed what the scene is going to be of those who trust in their position in religion while neglecting to do the plain, simple things. Don't kill people. Don't offer human sacrifice. Don't assign that to God. That's inhuman. That's inhumane. God never said anything like that. But you're going to do it anyway in the name of your religion? And he says those folks are going to be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they'll say, but we were solid in our group, in our religion. We did many mighty things in our group, in our religion. And he said, you neglected to provide the most basic, simple things to who? To the very least. You neglected. You omitted to provide the things needful for the body, something as simple as that. And you're lost because you worshiped your religion and you brought shame and disgrace to the cause of Christ. Like somebody said, I feel like I'm leaving a crime scene when leaving one of these scenes. And this person later reviewing all this material, he said, this should have had a speedy response. But Sister Angela says, I'm terrified. I just can't believe we've been wrong all this time. Well, there's a lot more to be terrified. That's something we can get taken care of and send it on ahead. We don't want this coming behind us when we land at the judgment. And every time another one drops off the list, I go over in my mind the private conversations I had with that person. One person wanted my phone number, and they said, oh, I've got your email here. I wonder how I got your email. I said, because you're supposed to respond to me about the letter. Oh, now they're gone. But how about the Scriptures that I'm bringing to you? I'm asking everybody, who are you? Who are you? However many of them you are, and however little I am, who are you? To not simply take 5 statements from D.S. Warner and give an opinion about them. And who are you not to answer the 4 boundaries, whether you agree with them or not? And if you've been through the audio website, every few minutes, I go over these 5 statements. Run through it again if you can. And notice only a few minutes go by before I come back to these 5 doctrinal statements by D.S. Warner. Number 1, it is fanatical and superstitious to teach that nothing beyond anointing and prayer may be used to cure illnesses. Number 2, that this position would make sense if Satan or some other power created the elements in nature from which remedies are derived rather than God, and that this position is the same as declaring that God reveals himself only through his word, but not through his creation. And number 3, that it is the rule of God's government that men are not to ask God to do for them supernaturally what they have the ability to do for themselves by their use of his gifts in nature. Number 4, that refusing to avail oneself of anything in God's storehouse of creation that will cure an ailment is identical to a farmer praying for supernatural provision from God for food while refusing to plant or harvest crops because he is trusting God to provide all his needs. And number 5, and that the glory that God gets from supernatural healing or from the use of anything in his storehouse of creation, that means anything that can be brought to bear on our condition, folks, the glory he gets is identical. Well, what's our other choice? Reduced glory? No glory? So these are 5 questions that nobody will answer. And you ask, well, could you say whether you agree with that statement or you don't? Could you say that you agree or don't agree with even one of them? No, you won't do it. You say, I'll talk about the weather, I'm out of here, before you'll answer one of these questions. And that's the difference between your 2 scriptures, which we spent hours working into context with this, and all of these scriptures that I'm presenting to you, these 5 statements, and there's hours of material built around this. So much material. The whole Bible is built around this because it's true and you cannot prove it otherwise. But D.S. Warner goes on. He expands. He says it would be folly for a farmer to refuse to sow or reap. But he says, what is the difference between that folly and refusing to use anything in God's storehouse of creation that can cure an illness? Well, no wonder those words might have been altered or scrubbed out by our group, you think? But the thing is, I've got a copy of a photocopy of the paper itself. It's right there for you to read.
And then we also have the four boundaries in the Word of God. And I'm not going to represent everything that is in those sections because you can see the tracks right above for each of these boundaries. And the first one is, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's the words in Scripture, but those words were also repeated by Christ, so they are the words of Christ. Number two. Boundary number two. Omission is commission. Now, these first two are huge. They define so much of what is in the mind and the heart of God and His order for man, as Brother D.S. Warner refers to it. Then we have boundary three, that self-harm is not commanded or tolerated or condoned. Boundary four, God requires two or more witnesses to condemn a person to death. So when we find something in the Scriptures and we're going to get that to double, and we try to double that as a death warrant, point to that as a reason for committing what amounts to human sacrifice by violating the Scriptures, tempting God, committing murder through omission. Well, the Scripture says you'd need to do, the Scripture says you would need two or more witnesses to do that. You can't just find one Scripture in James 5 for that. You can't double that Scripture as a death warrant. It's completely absurd. When you take all of these together, it is so clear, and that's why the ministers will do anything not to get caught having to answer these questions. The way they squirm, the measures they take, what they do, what they're saying. I listen to some, I say, I don't see how that person's not going to have to call and correct that. You know, the one brother, he said, he did have to call. He said, when he got off the phone, his wife said, I think you're going to have to call back and correct that. But to say you thought it was a Facebook thing? And I said, well, brother, the stats from my website, there are so many people in your congregation where you've been pastor for decades. It's almost as though I don't see how anybody could be left in that congregation that hasn't visited the website. I don't see how. I don't see how you thought it was just a Facebook thing. I've even been talking to his daughter about the website. Everybody refers to it as a website. So I tell him, well, I don't see how. There's scores of people in your congregation, the numbers that are lit up. How can this be? And then he starts to backtrack. He said, well, yeah, he had talked to a number of people, actually had contacted him. Okay, at what point do you just have to call me back up and correct that then? But my point is, and I'm not trying to make him an offender for a word, the ministers, when it comes to this plain, simple light of the Scripture, they're running like rats. And you might say, well, I don't like how you talk. Well, I don't like you killing off my friends with your false doctrine. And I don't like you pretending like you can't figure out if God is pro-life or not after 7 years. I was really, really surprised that Brother Dan suggested himself when I didn't even have it in my mind to put that transcript up. But for him to bail out like that, just to bail out and say, can we talk about the weather? And I highly resent this movement idol taking advantage of my cousin this way. I don't understand it. But somebody told me there's a young person that appears to have a skin cancer on their face. And they're going down this road. And that's why I'm going to do whatever I can do to hold these ministers accountable for those that have no voice, for those who say this could not have come at a better time or have been more helpful, for those that say, well, I've been through the whole thing. I don't see how you could have handled this whole thing in a more fair way than you have done. Or the person who said, thank you for not giving up trying to find me. I knew nothing of this. I can't think of a more egregious sin against the brethren or against Christ than to purposely withhold the word of God from a person like this. And I can't think of a more cruel example of what this idol, this movement idol, Evening Light Church of God idol will do to a person or to their soul. Then I'm sorry regarding the shameless behavior of these ministers. And I'm not ashamed to call you out because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And what's so sad is the abuse of this cruel, idol God. You take Dan Doolittle, he's my first cousin. You could not find a more noble, humble, friendly, pure-hearted, self-sacrificing person. He'd be in the top 1% of the top 1% in terms of his purity, his motives, his willing to sacrifice. He didn't lash out at me. Why are you sending me this stuff? You know my wife's sick. Nope, you didn't catch a hint of that, did you? But this idol has got him, and I'm after the idol. I'm after the movement idol that's got my cousin, got my friend, got my brother, got a lot of my friends. I'm after that movement idol. Brother Ed Wilson, Brother Covenant Maker, how many of you know how I have stood with him in the past? But he's betrayed me, left me on the field to die, if that's what happens to me. I sent him an appeal. He didn't even respond to the text message. He's being held hostage. He's an apostle to an idol god, and at least I'm free from it, the idol god of this movement. I'm hearing people say, Daryl Johnson said, God called me to this church. What do you mean God called you to this church? He called you to preach the gospel if he called you to anything. And I should amend what I say, correct it. Brother Ed is behaving as though he is simply an apostle of the idol god of this movement, because it doesn't appear that there are any other considerations with him. And I say that after 10 years, a decade in just a couple of months of trying to work with him on this subject. Does a young mother really have to be eaten away by cancer? Does a beautiful young person really have to have their face eaten away like what happened with Brother Allen? Is there really nobody who will stand up and even take a look at the Word of God on this? If you won't take your Bible and open your mouth and declare that this is necessary and here are the scriptures that say why, or say this is not necessary and here are where the scriptures say why, then you will be lost eternally according to the words of Christ himself, or his words don't mean anything. And there's no judgment for anybody. But hopefully someone will. The purpose of this track, again, is to present those five doctrinal statements of Brother D.S. Warner, as well as the four boundaries.